Well, let's take our Bibles to Proverbs 3 as we continue in the series, Why Trust the Lord? This third part, Why Trust the Lord? Let's read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Because these verses are so familiar to us, let's not forget to think about what the verses are saying. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Lord, I do pray that you'd help us this morning as we have opened your word. I pray that you would speak to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would draw us to trust you more. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Why trust the Lord? Well, we've looked at two aspects of the third one today. Why trust the Lord? Well, number one, we've seen that because in our own wisdom, we will go astray. In our own wisdom, we will go astray. There's no question about it. It's not a possibility. It's a certainty. Man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If we are not yielded to the Lord and walking in his wisdom, we will go our own way, which is not God's way. And so why should we trust the Lord? Because we will go astray if we don't. And number two, we looked at the reality of why we should trust the Lord is because the course of our life will have hardship. The course of our life will have hardship. We need the Lord. There will be valleys and difficulties that God himself will bring into our lives to help us to see our need for him, to help us to trust him more. Difficulties are a part of life, both for the lost as well as the saved. But as a saved person, difficulties have great potential to either draw us closer to the Lord or to drive us farther from the Lord. Remember, we talked about how trials, difficulties, they move us. They move us and they make us. All right? So very important that we respond correctly to the trials God brings in our life and to the trials God allows in our life. He always allows trials and difficulties with purpose. Purpose. God is always at work. Even when the enemy is scheming and conniving, God is in control. God knows what he's doing. And that's why we need to trust him. Otherwise, we will end up playing right into the hand of the enemy. So it's very important that we trust God, follow his word, depend our lives upon him, because life will have hardships. And then today, we're going to be looking at the third aspect of why should we trust the Lord? Because the plan God has for your life is perfect. The plan God has for your life is perfect. Please notice, if you will, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2 and verse 30. I have the verses right here on the screen as well. And so Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, let's say it together, could we? All right. Psalm 18, verse 1. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." Psalm 18, 1 and 2 and 30. All right. What a great passage. In Psalm 18, David is going through some hard times. He is come through some hard times. Saul has been pursuing him, pursuing to take his life. And David has fled from Saul, and David has sought to follow the Lord. David sought to be an upright man and truthful and honest in his life and seeking God with his whole heart. And David accounts by the Holy Spirit even enabling him to speak these words and to preserve them for us. We see David says, "I will love thee, O Lord." David's love, his heart for God, he expresses that and he says, "I'll love thee, O Lord, my strength." Now remember, this psalm was written when David had gone through great hardships and unbelievable disappointments and dangerous circumstances, hard things. And yet, in these even few verses from that psalm, we see David's trust in the Lord and his rest in God's perfect will. And so notice that. He says, "I will love the Lord." But in verse 2, he says, "The Lord is my rock." He's my rock. He's something solid in my life. He's what I am founded upon, what I'm built upon. God is my rock. He is not sinking sand. He is not muddy slopes. God is my rock. And notice what it says also. He says, "God is my fortress." A fortress is a place of safety, a place where we can go and be secure and safe from the enemy. And David says, "God is my fortress." In the picture there, we have a fortress, a castle from medieval times. And there's much imagery as it relates to what David says here in the combat of medieval times and in the hand-to-hand combat and the weaponry that they used. And so David says, "The Lord is my rock, he is my fortress, and my deliverer, my God." My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Whom I will trust. My buckler. A buckler is a personal shield. Sometimes a buckler would be attached to a person's arm, and it might be elongated so that it covered their legs as well. And it was a personal shield. So literally that when that person turned sideways, they were shielded. They were covered from the enemy's darts, arrows, spears. And it was a personal shield. Sometimes it's a smaller shield that they would hold with their hand. And it was a smaller round shield or something like this. A personal shield that they could get behind and be safe and deflect the darts, the spears of the enemy. And so that was what a buckler is. Sometimes a buckler would be carried by another soldier to protect a soldier. And so there would be a servant who would be carrying that shield for the other soldier who was fighting. And so in every case, it's a personal shield. David says, "God is my buckler. He is my personal shield. He's my personal defense. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." You see some high towers on that castle there. A high tower is a place of safety, but it's a place where you can get a good perspective. A higher ground, a higher place. And David says, "God is that to me. He is my refuge, my high tower, my rock, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." And then verse 30. Notice what David says in verse 30. He says, "As for God." He says, "I want to just tell you about my God." He says, "As for God, his way is perfect." When something is perfect, it is something on which there can be no improvement. God's way cannot be improved upon. It is perfect. It is the best there can be. God's plan, God's way for your life is perfect. It cannot be improved upon. You see, so often we think we know better than God. We think, yes, but I know God has, it loves me, and I know God has a good plan and all of that, but I kind of, you know, I want to make some of my own choices. I mean, after all, I want to have a joyful life. And if I submit to God, man, that's going to be a hard life, and I don't know whether I'm going to be joyful. I don't know whether I'm going to be happy. Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth. That's a lie. Because you know what? God's plan is the best it can be. You cannot improve on the plan God has for your life. You cannot choose a plan that is more joyful, because in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. And David testifies in time of great trial even. He says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. That means it's tested. It's tested and it's passed the test. God's word, it's not naive. It's not ignorant. It's not untrustworthy. It's not untested. No, the word of the Lord is tried, David says. It has been found faithful. He is a buckler. There he repeats that again in verse 30. He is a buckler, a personal shield to all those that trust in Him. He is a buckler, not to everybody, but to all those that trust in Him. Why should we trust the Lord? I'll tell you what, because His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Please notice 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Notice what that says. It says the God of all grace, who hath called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. After that ye have suffered, how long? A while. You see, God knows how to bring just the right thing into our life. God knows how to work. The one who created us knows exactly what we need. After you've suffered a while, what's His purpose? Make you perfect, complete. Make you everything you should be through suffering. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish. There's that rock, that good foundation. Established, unmovable, unshakable. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Settle you. You see, God has a purpose. His way is perfect. Oh yes, the way of the Lord is not always easy, but it is the best. It is the best. You cannot improve on God's plan for your life. So why should we trust the Lord? Why should we follow the Scriptures and say with the Scriptures, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You see, God's way is perfect, and we must trust Him. Here we have a soldier, a couple of soldiers from early days of combat, and they're trudging what looks to be through a bit of a forest, a bit of a damp location, trudging up a rocky slope there. You know what? Sometimes the way in our life is difficult, but God's way is perfect. Let's notice over here in Psalm 84 in your Bibles, Psalm 84. Notice verse 11 and verse 12. We looked at this psalm last week, if you'll remember. Psalm 84 This is, we began last week in verse 4, which says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. They will be still praising thee when others are not." Blessed are those who dwell in thy house. Remember that from last week. Verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well." They pass through that valley of weeping, and they make it a well. "The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." But what I want you to notice today is verse 10 and following. Verse 10, it says, "For a day in thy courts," speaking to the Lord, "Lord, a day in your courts, a day in your house, is better than 1,000 anywhere else." One day living for Jesus, one day dwelling near the Lord Jesus, one day in God's house is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. He says here in verse 10, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Now notice verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Don't you love the sunshine? I love the sunshine as well. The sun just perks up a day. It just gives life to the earth. The sun is a wonderful thing. The warmth of the sun, a beautiful day, you can't top that. And I'll tell you what, the psalmist here testifies and says, "The Lord God is a sun. The Lord is a sun. He's my sun." The S-U-N, the sun that shines in the sky. "The Lord God is a sun and a shield." There we have that shield again, that personal defense, that protection. "The Lord is my sun and my shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." God reveals to us here that those who walk in obedience to the Lord, those who walk in a way that pleases God, God says, "I will withhold no good thing from those who walk in obedience." That's a beautiful promise. That's a verse to memorize because it's a truth to hold dear. If I live for Jesus, God says, if we live for Jesus, if we walk in the ways of the Lord, God says that every good thing will be given to us. He will withhold no good thing from us. If he withholds something from us, it may be because we're walking in darkness. If he withholds a good thing from us, it may be because it maybe isn't actually the good thing we think it is. And so we can trust God. God not only loves us, but every action he has toward us is the best. He knows exactly how to handle every situation. He knows exactly what to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where we'll be 10 years from now. He knows where we'll be 20 years from now. He knows the end from the beginning 100 years from now. He knows all that's going to transpire. We need to trust him. His way is perfect. The Bible says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I want you to notice carefully three things, and then we'll be done. Three things. First of all, I want you to notice that God's plan is only realized by faith. God's plan is only realized by faith. You see, we just read several passages that speak of faith. Blessed is the man, we just read, that trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, God says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, without faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need to trust God. You see, listen, God's plan for our life doesn't just happen. It's not an automatic. We won't know God's perfect will for us. Young boys can't grow up and know God's perfect will for their life unless they trust God. God's plan isn't just an automatic. We aren't just robots that God just programmed, you know, that we just operate, you know, sovereign God moves everything and that's just how it is and there's nothing we can do about it. No, there's a whole lot we can do about it. We can wreck our lives. We can waste our years. We can waste our youth. God says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer. Be an example of the believer. You see, God calls us to trust him. To trust him, it makes a difference. God's plan is only realized by faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. You see, the directing of our paths by God is contingent upon us trusting the Lord with our own heart, with our whole heart, and acknowledging him in all our ways. You won't automatically live and do the will of God, even as a Christian, even as someone who's trusted Jesus. You won't automatically live and do the will of God without walking by faith, without walking by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us fear, the writer of Hebrews says. We need to take this very seriously. Let's consider very carefully that we don't miss a promise God has given us. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you know that you can sit under the preaching of the scriptures? Did you know that you can read your Bible in your home? Did you know that you can sing the songs of the faith and still miss God's best? Faith is critical to seeing God's will fulfilled in your life. And so we see that reality. In the road of life, we can't depend on our own understanding. We must not go our own way or it will be disaster. We must trust the Lord with our whole heart. Not only for salvation, not only for the salvation of our souls, but for the living of our days, for the direction of our life. And so we see that God's plan for your life is only realized by faith. And secondly, it is always contingent upon obedience. God's will, his perfect plan, will not be fulfilled in your life if you and I don't obey him. Remember the passage we read in Deuteronomy some weeks ago, Deuteronomy 30? God said, I set before you life and good, death and evil. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest hearken to his voice and obey him and all those kind of things. God calls us to a life of obedience. You see, the blessed man is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps, you know what steps are? They're the little particles of life. The steps of a good man. A good man is a man who believes God. A good man is a man who has not only trusted Christ as his Savior, but who is trusting and obeying the Lord daily. And God says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is directing those steps. God is saying, "This is what I want for your life." And that man is saying, "Yes, Lord." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And the Bible says, and he delighteth in his way. This is ambiguous. The subject and the object are ambiguous. Who delights in whose way? If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, who is delighting in whose way? They're both. I think it's ambiguous on purpose because God delights in his child who walks in the right way. It brings great joy to the Father. But also, quite to the opposite as well, when we walk in God's way, when we yield to follow his steps for us, there's delight in the way of the Lord. And so we see that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. If God's ordering our steps, then we ought to listen and follow. That's why we must trust the Lord. We must trust the Lord. Please take your Bible over to Psalm 81. We have a tragic illustration here. Psalm 81, let's begin with verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken." Hey, if you'll listen, God says, if you'll listen, if you will listen, there shall be no strange God in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Illustratively, God writes here and says, I am the one who has redeemed you. I have saved you from your sin. He says, I've saved you from Egypt. I delivered you from Egypt. He says, I delivered you not so you'd die in the wilderness, but that so you would depend on me. He says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, that's what God did. The people he took out of Egypt, God fed them in the wilderness. Day after day, day after day with manna. Miraculous provision God provided for them. And you know what? Every day, twice as much before the Sabbath. But you know what? Every day God provided daily bread. Daily provision. And God calls to us in this psalm and he says, oh, that my people wilt hearken unto me. Oh, God says, oh, if my people would just listen to me. He says, if you would just come to me expecting, come to me and open your mouth wide so that I can fill it. But notice verse 11, he says, but my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts. Wow. God says, I wanted my people to listen. I wanted to provide for them. I wanted to bless them. I did so much in their life. I brought them out of Egypt. I delivered them from that bondage. How so much more I wanted to do for them. Oh, that they had listened, but my people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear me. They wouldn't obey. So I gave them up to their own heart's lusts. He says, so I said, well, you want to go your own way? Go. You want to be stubborn? Go. You're not going to listen to my instructions? Go. And that's what they did. They wouldn't listen. So God gave them up to their own heart's desires, and they walked in their own counsels. They walked in their own wisdom. Oh, God interjects here, verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Oh, if they just had listened, if they just would have obeyed, I should have subdued their enemies. They would have had victory and turned my hand against their adversaries. Verse 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. They would have been blessed. They would have been victorious. They would have dwelt long in the land. Verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Remember that song we sing? Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. But sometimes we don't want to leave our sins. Oh, sometimes we want to go our own way. We want to do what we want to do instead of what God calls us to do. God says, I would have given them the finest of the wheat and the honey out of the rock. I should have satisfied thee. Wow. You see, God's way is best. Oh, so many times we're deceived into thinking we know better than God. We're deceived into leaning on our own understanding, following our own counsels, following our own heart's lusts. Oh, it's dangerous. It's not good. We must trust the Lord. And so we see the first two aspects here of why we should trust the Lord with our life and why God's plan for our life, how it will be realized, it is only by faith. It is always contingent upon obedience. And secondly, please notice, God's plan is primarily relational, not vocational. God's plan does involve our life work. That is true. But that is far less primary than the reality of what God wants between us and him. You see, God can use anyone, even the wicked, God uses for his glory, ultimately. Not that God is pleased, not that God makes them do that, but God was glorified even in wicked Pharaoh. Even in wicked, hard-hearted Pharaoh, God got the glory. Even in the wickedness on the day of Christ's death on the cross, the wicked mob who hollered, crucify him, crucify him, God got the glory. Even the wickedness of man, God ultimately is glorified and his purpose is fulfilled. But you know what? God wants us to walk as obedient children. God wants us to know him personally. God's desire, his will for our life is not that we would be a police officer or a firefighter or a nurse or a parent. That in itself, yes, God has a purpose and plan for all of that, or a preacher or missionary. But God's plan is for a relationship, a quality of a relationship, a sweetness of fellowship. That's God's plan. You see, as I had a teacher in school that would so often say this very reality, that if we're walking with the Lord, if we're in fellowship with God, we will be what we need to be. But if we're not walking with the Lord, we may still walk in an occupation that looks good. But if we're not sweet fellowship with God, we won't be what we should be. You see, God's will is the relationship. And if the relationship is right, the work of our hands will be right as well. And so we must understand that we must trust the Lord. Notice the intimacy God wants to have. He says in John 15:15, he says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." He says, you aren't just my servants. I'm not just telling you what to do and you're supposed to obey. He says, I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Ye are my friends. John 17, Jesus expresses these words in prayer to his Father. He says, Father, verse 24, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Notice the fellowship God wants to have. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, the believers, that they would be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Before Jesus left this earth, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he will come. What a blessing. What a blessing. The communion we can have with God. Let us, as 1 John 1 verse 7 says, let us have fellowship one with another. Fellowship one with another. A relationship. We see these three aspects of God's plan for our life. It is not an automatic. It is only realized by faith. It is always contingent upon obedience. And it is primarily relational, not vocational. That's why you can do God's will today. Maybe one day God's will is for you to be a missionary or to be a businessman. But you know what? That's in the future if it is God's will. We don't know. But you know what? Today is the day that God wants us to walk with Him in sweet fellowship. If we're not saved, today is the day God wants us to see our need, that we cannot save ourselves, that we are sinners, but that Jesus died for us. You see, today is the day to be saved. Today is the day to humble ourselves and obey God, to believe God, to trust His Word. Today is the day we can do God's will, God's perfect will, today. Today. What if we only had 1 year to live, till the Lord returned or till we died? What if we only had 1 year? Only one more birthday, and then our life would be over. Now, I hope that's not the case, but God knows. Would we do the will of God with that 1 year? You say, yeah, but I expected to have 20 years. I expected to grow up and be this and to do that, and I had this plan and that plan. But the question is, what is God's will for me now? Will I trust the Lord with my whole heart and not lean on my own understanding? In all my ways will I acknowledge Him so that He might direct my steps? You see, He knows. So I need to trust Him. I need to trust Him. Let's follow the Lord. Our psalm that we read in the beginning of the service was Psalm 121, and the psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Let's trust Him. He knows the end from the beginning. He is trustworthy. And Jesus, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness. We pray that You'd help us to trust You more. Help us to hearken, to listen to Your voice.
to walk in obedience with a tender heart. For we know that your way is best. As for God, his way is perfect, David testified. Your word is tried. Blessed are those that trust in thee. Lord, yes, we recognize we're so prone to depend on ourselves, so prone to go our own way, so prone to be distracted from the right path. Help us to acknowledge you in all our ways. Every area, every closet of our life, every attic, every little area, big and small, that we would acknowledge you and follow your leading, follow your word, with faith, with obedience, pursuing a sweet fellowship with you, that we might be closer and go deeper and higher with you. In Jesus' name, amen.